It's 6 o'clock on Monday. That means it's time for the Belfast Lions High School Sports Show. Here's your host, Coach Brian Goff.
Woodbury, that was awful.
His head.
Here we go, guys.
Hey, we got a full house.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Belfast Lions Sports Show. This is the host of the show, the head football coach for your Belfast Lions, Coach Brian Goff. I'm also the head JV basketball coach this year as well. We just started some individual workouts on the hardwood wood floor. Great to be back on the basketball court again 30 years later. Got a lot of fond memories from my playing days at Belfast. It's really good to be around the players again as well. Tonight we have a reunion, if you will, four standout athletes from the class of 1983. Four friends that created a bond back in high school and even beyond that we'll get into in just a moment. And if one of you guys have a TV on in the background, could you please cut that off for us? Thank you very much. And we're going to get into some stories from yesteryear. Talk about what these men are doing today, and also deliver a message to our younger listeners out there. Since I've been a coach here at Belfast for the last couple of years, one of my main messages to the players that I coach today is, number one, how do you want to be remembered? And number two, go out there and create some unforgettable memories, because these memories will truly last with you a lifetime. And no better example of that than the four men that are going to join our show right now. We have Mark Mosier, Sean Woodbury, Ed Hero, and Steve Marsanskas joining the show. Gentlemen, how are you?
Good, Coach. How you doing?
Good. Good.
Appreciate you
doing
guys.
Great.
Awesome. Appreciate you guys joining the show. An hour probably isn't going to be enough time, so let's dive right into it. First, we're going to talk to Mark. I go back with Mark back when I graduated high school from Belfast in 1990. Mark was my quarterback coach for the football team, and he was also the first base coach for the baseball team as well. So two out of three sports my senior year, Coach Mark Mosier was there with me. Got a lot of great memories from those two seasons with Mark as coach. Mark, my first question to you is, how often do you get together with your teammates that are here on the show with us tonight? And how often do you talk to them by phone or any other means of communication?
I would say some of the guys monthly. You know, we try to get together. Lately, we've been trying to get together on a yearly basis. You know, go away for a weekend to a college football game. Last winter, we went to Bangor and spent a week. The four of us that are here right now went to Bangor and went to a UMaine hockey game. So, you know, it can come and go. But, again, these are guys, you know, I've known all these guys since probably at least 10 years old. And there's still some of the guys I'm the closest with right now. You know, it's the memories that you make playing sports. We all play sports together. But even beyond that, I mean, we're all in our 50s now. And when we get together, you know, things haven't changed. The guys you can trust, you know, you play together, you grow up, you – just form a great bond. And like you said, man, it starts, some of us, Pee Wee football is when we met, or Little League or something, and we're still as tight today as we were back then. So, you know, it hasn't stopped since we were 10 years old, probably.
That is super cool. So it actually extends way beyond 1983, the year that you guys graduated.
Way beyond.
Very, very cool. I'm curious to know, when you get together with these guys, how quickly do some of these memories from playing high school sports together at Belfast come up?
Well, you know, I mean, regardless, I mean, the four of us, we all played three sports. Some of us were better at other sports than we were football. But, you know, there's something about playing football in Belfast on a Friday night, you know, coming out underneath the lights together. It regardless if it was the sport you were the best at, your best sport or the sport that you enjoyed the most, might have been something else, but there's nothing like football, you know. It just brings you together. The community was there.
There's nothing like football.
You know, the people walking up and down the sidelines, you know, cheering for you. It just, you know, it was amazing. It was great, and you know, thankfully we're all still close today.
Absolutely, we had our awards ceremony. It brought back memories from the last couple of seasons being there as coach, and it certainly brought back memories to my playing days as well over 30 years ago. And I tell the guys every time I walk down to the field, I get goosebumps down my arms, and that's no lie.
You replay your last game until you know, forever and ever. You know, guys,
we're having a little bit of turbulence. If you're on laptops, if you can keep those still, that'd be great. Because we're getting a little static feedback here, so thank you. Researching the class of 1983 and the sports that you guys played in, seems like you guys had one heck of a football team. My notes tell me you won the SEC that year. You went in the playoffs. Talk a little bit about your season, your senior year playing football for the Belfast Lions.
You want me to start or somebody else?
You.
Yeah, well, you know, we had a great team. I mean, we started out, you know, as kids in seventh and eighth grade playing in the old Pine Tree Conference and just getting crushed. I mean, every game was ridiculous. And then as freshmen, we started playing really well, and we had a good team, and that carried on through high school. You know, we won our division. I guess back then it was the Coastal Division and the Northern Division, kind of like Eastern and in Western Maine, and we won, you know, the Coastal Division. We ended up going 8-1 in the regular season, won the Coastal Division, and, you know, ended up, we did lose in the playoffs in the state semifinals, but it was a great, you know, it was a great year. I mean, coming from where we did when we were young kids, it was pretty amazing, and, you know, the way we did it, too. I mean, you saw the stats. I mean, our defense gave up 41 points in 10 games, you know, and, you know, probably half of those were interceptions I threw that were returned inside the red zone. You know, I mean, people just didn't move the ball against us. And so it's just a lot of fun. You know, I mean, we really, it's always disappointing when you don't win at all. But, you know, looking back, it was a pretty special year.
Well, in our two losses, we only allowed 14 points total.
Right, right.
Wow. You know,
you know, we lost, you know, to Stearns, and we lost the game to Orono. So
6-0 and 8-3.
Right, correct.
And you remember those scores right off the top of your head like it was yesterday. Isn't that right,
Sean? Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
My notes tell me Sean was an all-state defensive end, which actually is impressive as a defensive end, had not one but two pick six returns for touchdowns in his career. Take us through those plays, Sean.
Well, I think that's why I made all conference, because I know that I was not the best, because I was also on offense. I played offensive end. So I played against the other guys on defense, and I know there were some guys better than me, but I think because I had those pick sixes and I played on a great team, I got a little bit more extra attention than I deserved.
Gotcha. And do you remember those plays specifically?
Oh, my God.
They went down and who they were against?
Absolutely. I remember Bernard Cook and Hampton. And the first one I did, I remember Coach Ross telling me, hey, you better enjoy this. This is a once-in-a-lifetime thing for your position. And the next weekend, I did it again. It was definitely one of those plays where they rolled out right and threw back left across the field. I just stayed home. So that was it.
Right on. And how many yards did you take that back to the house?
I remember it was about 110 in my mind, but I think it was only about 15 or 20. It wasn't very long.
That is awesome. And what other sports did you play at Belfast, Sean?
I played baseball and wrestling and basketball my senior year, I wasn't a basketball player, but football, like Moja said, hands down is the most bonding sport, because you're out there you know, you're the furthest away from any coach. It's 11 on 11, and it's just you guys against their guys. And it's, you can't help but form a strong bond more than any other sport, I believe.
I agree 100%. You know, my senior year that I played at Belfast back in 1990, I believe we spent an entire week out at Camp Neofa, which is out in Liberty, and had the football team and coaches there, and four practices a day and eight guys to a bunkhouse, and you basically breathe, eat, and sleep football for an entire week, and you're there with your brothers and getting ready for the season. And you know, that story comes up a lot with a lot of my teammates that I've played with, no doubt. Shifting over to Steve. Steve was a very good football player as well in his own right. Let me first say that Sean was All-State defensive end and Mark was an All-State QB and punter. This is why this team was so darn good. Steve was an All-State guard and linebacker at Belfast Area High School and went on to play collegiately at the University of Rochester. Started as a freshman at middle linebacker. Steve, take us through your process in choosing the University of Rochester and how it took you down the path to New York.
Yeah, thanks, Coach. Yeah, I was in, you know, playing division football and also, you know, interested in engineering. So, you know, when I wanted to stay in the New England, New York area. So after, you know, reviewing a bunch of schools, you know, Rochester kind of at the top of the list. So that's kind of the school. And eventually I played my freshman year and part of my sophomore year, but I was a chemical engineer. So the curriculum was very, very challenging. It was difficult to do both.
Right. No doubt. Now, that's a very beautiful part of the country. There you are in the Great Lakes. You're not too far from Hamilton and Toronto. Buffalo is just to your west. Were you able to explore that region at all and get away from the books a little bit?
Yeah. I did quite a bit of that. And, you know, in football that freshman year and part of that sophomore year, you know, we traveled around a number of the schools in that general area. And we got over to the Finger Lakes, you know, up to even parts of Canada, Toronto. So we traveled a variety of places in that area.
Very cool. And going back to your playing days at Belfast, is there that one game or that one play or something that just really just will never leave you that comes up in conversation when you get together with your teammates in the year 2020?
Oh, think of a few. For me personally, it was kicking a field goal during one of the games, and Mark was the holder, and we had practiced many. Mark, correct me if I'm wrong, but it was one of the season-ending games. But it was a hit for me.
Right on. Going to shift over to Ed here. Ed Hero joins the show. Ed was a darn good football in his own right. First team All-State at fullback and linebacker. Had over 1,000 yards for the Lions, both rushing and receiving. Was first team All-State as a junior as well. Ed, tell us a little bit about what you remember playing for the Lions back in 1983.
Is he muted?
Time for Sean to help Ed out.
You might be muted, Ed.
Yeah, he told me he's muted.
He should have been muted in 83.
All right, we'll wait for him to get his screen situated there. Mark, you played basketball.
Who am I on mute?
There he is.
Hey, Ed. Do you hear me?
Yes, sir. How you doing?
Hey, good. I'm doing great. And how you doing, Steve? Hey, and you know, when Steve mentioned that about that field goal, that was in a playoff game. And that was one of my big memories, too, because as he said, he kicked the field goal and Mike held the ball. And guess who hiked it? I did.
There you go.
I was going to go with Kirk.
Well, it wouldn't have got there. But no, I think
we held it together.
Mike touched on it. Mike touched on it earlier about us playing Pee Wee football. I believe when we started playing, that was the first year that he had Pee Wee football in Belfast. And we all came up a bunch, you know, together all the way up through the ranks. And then, like, again, Mike was saying, you know, we used to get our butts kicked by bigger teams that had more people. But then something came around eighth grade freshman year, and, you know, we had a lot of talent. So it worked out well.
No doubt. Now, who did you guys end up losing to in the playoffs that year?
Arno.
Well, the funny thing about that, I think, was the year before that, they only allowed maybe one team in there or something, and we thought it would be better if they had two teams available for the playoffs. I don't know if you guys remember that, but we brought Arno got in the playoffs because of that. And
I never knew that.
I don't want to say why we lost the game, but...
go ahead and say
I missed a tip pass, I think. It went over my hands, okay, Woodbury?
I still can see that from my point
of
view.
What happened there, Ed?
Well, I don't think I paid attention to it. It was third down and 11.
Let me say so, that
38 years later, I still remember it.
I think about it all the time. Not that, the whole game.
Yeah.
Hey, Brian, Coach Goff, let me tell you about Ed Hero. Ed Hero could have made All-State at any position he had played, whether it was offensive line, receiver, back, quarterback, on defense. He could play every position. He was probably the best high school player overall I'd seen or coached against. So, you know, one play, you know, sucks, but I mean, he was an unbelievable player.
Definitely.
That's awesome. Well, you guys all had great accolades. It's no surprise to me that you had a great football team and went deep in the playoffs. And, you know, those losses, you always think to yourself, what could have, should have, would have, you know, you want to take that one play here back or one play there. And, you know, a lot of the times are the difference in the ball game. That's for darn sure. Ed, any relation to the great Teddy Hero?
Yeah. Theodore was my uncle. And as a matter of fact, Ted was a good football coach and a good wrestling coach. And he actually got me started in the running back. You know, he said, you might be big and fat, but you're not going to be a lineman all your life. So he made me a running back.
That sure sounds like Coach. You know, he was a wrestling coach when I was there at Belfast High School back in the day when I was playing there. And I believe he was my shop teacher as well for a year, if I'm not mistaken. And he just had a really dry, witty sense of humor. And he was a fun guy to be around. That's for darn sure. And I was just up in the wrestling room at Belfast today, doing a chore for the school, and his name's still written all over that wrestling room. So the memory of Teddy Hero will live on at Belfast Sports forever. That's for darn sure. So you guys all grew up in Belfast. Is that correct? You graduated in 83, but you all pretty much lived in Belfast and grew up in Belfast in your younger years. Is that correct?
Steve, go ahead. You go first.
Yeah, that is. I grew up right kind of downtown, and Ed was there too. And I know Mark was more in the north area.
Down in Northport.
And yeah. And then Sean, where were you?
Belmont. Yeah, we used to we used to play football.
Belmont Gardens.
By Steve's house on the road by Steve's house. Remember that, Steve?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yep, out on the road and field. Yeah.
How often would you guys play football like that growing up?
Oh man, every weekend. Me and Ed are cousins. I don't know if you know.
Well,
that.
when we didn't have enough players, my sister used to play with us. So we used to play anytime.
Yeah.
He was good.
But, Brian, you know, the other thing about this team is I graduated with two of my cousins, and it was an awesome feat to play with them on the team. You know, it was pretty nice.
Absolutely. It's all about getting the reps, you know. When I was growing up, I'm sure I know Mark knows the Dyer family quite well. I used to play pickup football there every weekend growing up. Whether it was 2-on-2, 3-on-3, 4-on-4. And I no doubt got better as a football player just playing in a, you know, 25-yard long driveway.
You know, Lou Dyer, the father, was one of our coaches that year. So.
Oh, he was?
He was, yeah. You know.
No doubt.
Yeah.
Who else did you have on staff there in 83?
Well, we had Hal Halliday, who unfortunately passed away a few years ago. He was our head coach, you know. We all loved Hal. Coach Ross, Chuck Ross, was our defensive coordinator. You know, did a great job. He was, you know, just up from Massachusetts. I think he came when we were like juniors. So he was there for a couple of years. Bill Pickford, Butch Richard. Wegler was our coach when we were freshmen. Bob Wegler, who's now the rugby coach at Norwich. Him and Ted Hero were our coaches our freshman year. And Coach Wegler had like just graduated from Cornell or something. And those two really, they need a lot. They deserve a lot of credit for really kind of turning our attitudes and everything around. I mean, we ended up, other than losing a game to Bangor, Fifth Street that year, we were undefeated in the conference when we had them coaches. And so yeah, we were fortunate. We had some really good coaches and people that were really excited about football and helping out and, you know. Starts with the coaching staff and get the kids excited and go from there.
Now, did you guys play under the lights back then, or was it daytime football on Saturdays?
Always under the lights, unless it was an away game. Mm-hmm. And then it was 50-50.
Right on. Good stuff. Sean, what other sports did you play at Belfast besides football?
Wrestling until my sophomore year. And baseball was probably my second sport. I was I was team captain of that. Hold you. Hang on. It was between Moja for team captain and Coach Ross was the coach, and he looked at it real closely and made the wise decision to choose me. And Moja has never got over that yet.
Well, we shared the same coach. You know, Coach Ross was there when I was there in 1990 and played under him. And, you know, now that I'm back coaching in Belfast all the years later, you walk through the halls and these people are still around. Coach Ross just retired from coaching baseball, but he's still an employee at the school. So I saw him literally this morning. My basketball coach, Coach Richard, he's still a teacher there. I saw him. I'm actually substitute teaching for him tomorrow. Mrs. Layton is there, the math teacher, one of my, if not favorite teacher that I had. And, you know, sometimes you can walk around the school. See these people still walking around the school. So that's definitely a really, really fun thing about being back at Belfast, you know. Belfast has changed a lot over the years in some ways, but in some ways it's definitely stayed the same as well. And I think that's part of the you know, the nostalgia of being back here after all these years later and being a coach where I went for all these years later. Being a coach, a lot of familiar coaches.
Well, me and Moshe had a big thrill. 2 years ago, we came to Coach Ross's last alumni game, and we played in that. That was a lot of fun.
Very, very cool. Steve, where are you living today?
Where am I living?
Yeah, where are you living today?
Oh, yeah. I'm in so we've been here. Before that, I traveled around a number of states, but we came back to Maine in 1995.
Okay, I missed the first part. We're having a little bit of a bad connection on your end. Where did you say you're living today?
Yeah, in Falmouth. Can you hear me?
You're still breaking up on me, sir.
Falmouth.
Steve, it's time to get rid of that dial-up computer.
I know.
All right, so you're down in the Falmouth area. Good stuff. You said you came back into the state in 1995. Have you been living in the Falmouth area for all these years?
Yeah, we have. Yep, we raised a family, and they've moved.
Good stuff. There's nothing like Maine. I don't care.
Good stuff. There's nothing like Maine. I don't care.
Western Maine. You know, I've always gone to water for some reason. You know, most places I've lived in my entire life, I've always been near the ocean, it seems like. And I just love that about Maine, with the coast here and all the lakes and. There's no place like home. That's for darn sure. Take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Hello, this is Jennifer Hill, and you're listening to WBFY 100.9 Belfast, Maine.
Support for Belfast Community Radio comes from our listeners and from the Chocolate Drop Candy Shop and Dave's Old Fashioned Soda Fountain, featuring locally made hand-dipped chocolates as a vast selection of Jelly Bellies and nostalgic candy for all ages. Revisit your sweetest childhood memories. Also featuring Dave's Old Fashioned Soda Fountain, local handmade ice cream, and Old Fashioned Sodas, 35 Main Street, Belfast.
Help support the Maine Community Foundation's Waldo County Fund, a resource for donors and nonprofits since 1990. Learn more at mainecf.org.
Tune in to the Magical Music Machine Fridays from 9 to 11 p.m. I'm Dr. Rhythm, and I play the hits, misses, forgotten 45s, and rare oldies, along with doo-wop and rockabilly. Tune in to hear the hits you loved and the songs you may have forgotten. Here on WBFYLP 100.9 FM.
All right, and that's why we're able to hear everything right now. So yeah. All right, folks, welcome back to the Belfast Lions Sports Show. We are here with the class of 1983. It is a reunion, if you will. We're talking about old times with these athletes here from Belfast Area High School. We're talking about some lessons that were learned way back when. We're talking about stories. To our younger listeners out there, if you've heard so far, these men get together essentially on a yearly basis. Friends since they were about 10 years old. They graduated in 83. You can do the math. And it was Belfast Area Sports that brought this group together and formed that bond, a bond that still lives on today and is as strong as it's ever been. So you guys that are in high school now or even younger, you know, cherish these times, play sports, create memories, because one day down the road, you're going to look back and you're going to be having these same conversations that these men have today. Ed, I'll stay with you. Where are you living today, and what are you doing in everyday life in the year 2020?
I live on the East Waldo Road in Belfast. I've lived in Belfast all my life. We've got a construction company, build and remodel houses, and I'm a boilermaker by trade. I started that in 1990.
Very so, good. You're a lifer for Belfast, huh?
55 years.
Good stuff. Now, I don't know about you, Ed, but I tell a lot of guys, you know, in my working career, no matter what I've been doing, you know, I always put in a lot of hours and always was complimented in the workload that I did and how hard I worked. And some people have asked me where that came from. I think it came, honestly, from playing sports and football in general, because back when I was a player at Belfast, or even when I went on to play college football, you know, you're getting up in the morning, you're working out, you're running. Football practices are not easy. In the summertime, you're doing two-a-days. If you're going out away to camp like we were, you're doing 4 days for a week. You know, you get into the workforce and you put in an eight or 10 hour day, it doesn't seem like it was all that bad, because I think back to all that hard work we put into sports. Would you agree that kind of formed your work ethic and where you are today from playing sports at Belfast?
Well, yeah, that has a lot to do with it. You know, it gets you on a schedule. You got to be to practice a certain time. You got to be there till the end. You got to put in everything you have for the sport that you're doing, whether it's wrestling, football, baseball, basketball, soccer, whatever you're doing. It's always about being on time, which starts with a job. You got to be on time to go to work. So be on time and put all your effort into it. So
good point. You know, if you're late for work and you don't give great effort at your job, what typically happens? You know, you're probably going to get fired and you won't have a job the next day. That's why I tell the guys today, just like you said, Ed, you know, practice starts at 3:00, be 10 minutes early, not 10 minutes late. Give us 110% the entire time that you're here. Look to stay a little bit afterwards. Put a little time in.
Tell a story about when you and I were late, though.
Well, I haven't been late a whole lot in my life, but this certain time, Mr. Sean Woodbury, my cousin, was staying at my house, and we woke up late for practice. It was two-a-days, you know, doing them in the morning. We said, oh, man, we're late. We had to run all the way to practice. But and the sad part was I was one of the captains along with Steve Masanskis, and if you're a captain, you shouldn't be late.
Amen.
Yeah, it was close to a mile, and I remember we're running, and I thought I was behind Ed, and I thought, "Are we gonna sprint the whole way? This is, we have to stop at some point." But no, the whole way we just ran. We did not want to be late. It was like, we're gonna die on the way to practice.
Did you make it on time?
It was close. It was very close.
Yeah,
I think we did do a lap.
We didn't have a choice.
Yeah.
Now, Sean, where are you living today, and what are you doing in your life?
I'm down by Atlanta.
Okay.
And I was with Delta Airlines for 30 years and actually just retired this past August. So now I'm just kind of, you know, I'm going to wait here for about 3 more years, and then I'm going to move back to Maine. That's my plan.
And do you see yourself coming back to the Belfast area or somewhere else in Maine?
Could be, but, you know, we're not sure where yet, but we know that Maine is just calling us back. So everybody thinks I'm crazy for leaving here and retiring there, but, you know, we miss it.
So have you lived in Atlanta for 30 years?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And over the past 30 years, how often do you get back to Maine?
Oh, every year, at least once a year, sometimes twice. In fact, I'm planning on going there next month. My cousin Ed here, has a big bonfire every year. So that's next month.
Very cool. So you're going to make it back for that, see some old friends and whatnot.
Yep.
Good stuff. Now, you're in Atlanta. I know Mark's down in South Florida, down near Fort Lauderdale. Since you guys are in the same kind of region of the country, do you guys see each other more often than your other two teammates that are living here in Maine?
Go ahead, Mark.
Unmuted. Yeah, it's been pretty good. We've seen each other quite often. Sometimes I'm up there for business. He worked for Delta, so he could fly down whenever I'd go up. He's met some of my friends. I've met some of his friends. So, yeah, we've definitely seen each other more than others. But it's been nice. I mean, like I said, we knew who each other were growing up as kids. And then, you know, in eighth grade, they stuck us beside each other in eighth, you know, at the old Crosby Junior High. And, you know, we were best buddies ever since, you know.
That is awesome. Now, Mark, you're down in South Florida. You're down near Fort Lauderdale. How long have you been down there, and what are you doing in the year 2020?
Well, I moved down here probably the end of 92, beginning of 93. You know, we spent a few years, my wife and I, traveling with our job, like 3.5 years. We traveled like the Midwest, but for the most part, we've been down here. I spent 25 years working with people with intellectually disabilities. My wife still does the same thing. She's a behavior analyst. She's got her own company. She's got like 8 group homes and a day program. But a couple of years ago, I got out of it, and I'm currently, doing frozen drinks at the selling machines and frozen drinks to the bars, restaurants, and gas stations and wherever down here in South Florida. So nice change of pace. It's enjoyable.
How far does your region span down in South Florida?
Well, right now I have basically the southern part of Boca itself, you know, like West Palm Beach, Boca down to, you know, south part of Miami. But I also still have Houston, Texas, Atlanta, and Myrtle Beach. But I'm kind of fading out those areas and concentrating on South Florida.
Very good. I'd like to give you guys an opportunity to tell a funny story, perhaps about one of your teammates on air. Now keep in mind, this is a family show, men. But if you have a funny story about one of the guys that seems to always come up every year that you guys get together, I myself personally and our listeners would sure like to hear it. Mark, we'll start with you. You got one for us?
Sure.
A funny story about them. I actually have a great story of Coach Kelly, Rick Kelly, who wrestling coach in Belfast now, that played with us. He was one of our guys. Maybe the strongest high school football player of all time. I mean, he's just a beast. If you know Rick Kelly, right?
Oh, yeah. He coached with me at Belfast last year.
Right. Well, Rick was one of our offensive and defensive tackles and just – incredibly fast, strong. We go up and we're playing at the University of Maine. We're playing Orono during the regular season. And we're playing at the University of Maine field. But the year before, we played there too, and we used the locker rooms at the University of Maine. This time, for some reason, they have us change at the high school. Now remember, Orono had won the year before. They were on like a 44-game winning streak. I mean, they were unbelievable. They had lost like one game before they play us. We go up there and we beat them up pretty good, the University of Maine field. We go back to Orono High School, and you know, an hour's gone by before we get to the high school. We go in and we change and we shower up and everything. We get back on the bus. So say an hour and a half, 2 hours has gone by since the game's over. We get on the bus, we start to pull out. There's a kid still in his uniform from Orono High School. He's standing in the middle of the parking lot, and he stops the bus. The bus stops. The door opens. Coach Halliday looks out the door, and he goes, "What do you want?" He goes, "Coach, I got to come on. I got to get on the bus. I got to say something to one of your players." And so Hal reluctantly lets this kid – well, this kid was an offensive and defensive tackle from Orono High School. He gets on the bus, and he walks to the back of the bus where Rick was sitting, And he goes, I mean, he cursed a little bit, but basically he was just like, you're the best freaking tackle I have ever played against in my life. You just completely destroyed me. And, you know, Coach Halliday was like, you know, you're half right. I don't know about the, you know, the curse words, but, you know, Rick, who's, you know, not with us, you know, on the phone, but was just a really dominant player. I mean, this kid literally stayed an hour and a half, 2 hours, still in uniform. We've already showered up. And he stops the bus in their high school parking lot, comes on the bus, and just wants to shake Rick Kelly's hand. He's like, you know, you beat the crap out of me all day long. I respect you. I had to say it. And then he got off the bus, and we went home. So, wow. You know, one of those memories, you know, big win for us. They'd only lost like one game in the past 5 years. And, you know, so that was quite a day.
No doubt. That's a sure sign of respect right there for sure.
Absolutely.
Steve, do you have any stories that come off the top of your head that you'd like to share with our listeners?
Yeah, you know, one game I remember vividly was we were sophomores or juniors, and it was in Bucksport. And for the first half, we were getting, you know, killed. And we were supposed to be winning that game. And at halftime, the coach, and I'm not sure who the coach was, guys, at that point in time, but it might be now at the time. But, you know, he was going up and down the side of us and down on the other side. And he really started to hammer on Steve Prescott, who his name was Haas on the team. Unfortunately, Steve is no longer with us, but, you know, he's a close friend of mine and a neighbor of mine in Belfast. But we were all pumped up, ready to go. And Steve blocks punts during the second half of that game, and we ended up winning that game. And that was an amazing, you know, amazing night for Steve and the team.
No doubt. Good story there. How about you, Sean?
I know my favorite play would have to be my freshman year when my cousin here had a halfback pass. You know, he was a running back. Mosier hands him the ball, and he throws me a touchdown pass. And as you can imagine, that didn't happen very often. You know, usually back then and even now, it's more of a running game. So you can imagine how wide open I had to be for me to score a touchdown because I'm not that fast. But when Mosier mentioned Ricky Kelly, it reminded me of the playoff game our senior years against Orono. And we were not moving the ball well at all, and which is, you know, uncharacteristic of us. Finally, we called a halfback. We called a screen pass, which the lineman would sprint out right. And it was like one of those kind of across the field screen passes. Mosier threw it over. I think he was either intended for Ed or Troy Perry. And he overthrew the running back and threw it to Ricky Kelly, the lineman. And everyone knew that it was an illegal pass, but we got so excited because he was running down the field like he's going to score. He knew it wasn't legal. Everyone did. We were like, go, go, go. But Ricky Kelly, like Mosier said, was such a dominant force on the line, and I get to play right beside him on offense. So because of that, I got so much credit for the for the right side of the line being really good for blocking, but it was all him. I happened to be along for the ride.
No doubt. You know, I haven't seen Coach Rick in a while, but when he was coaching with me last year, you know, he still looks like he could strap it up and get out there and mix it up with the guys. Everybody still comments about how strong that he is, and he rolls around with the heavyweights up on the wrestling mat to give them looks. And didn't surprise me at all that he was a great player back in the day, and I had no idea he was on that team. You know, when I think if you remember correctly, Mark, the last football game I ever played in 1990 was a football game down at Rockland. And you look across the field, and there's Coach Rick Kelly as the head coach of the Rockland Tigers back then.
Exactly. Yep. And Yeah, they had a decent team. You guys, you know, you guys had a really good team. And I tell people all the time, if Brian Goff had weighed 170 in high school, people would have got hurt. You were a hitter. You didn't mind sticking your head in there, you know? You weren't a big kid back. I mean, you've obviously filled out now, but, I mean, that was a good high school team. And you know, I remember Troy Bowen and Doolin and my brother Jeff. You had some, you know, good receivers and running back. That was a good team.
We had a big line for sure. And, you know.
Stearns game still hurts, doesn't it? That's like, that's our Orono game. That's our Orono playoff game. That's the game.
I actually thought of when I was writing down some questions earlier on, and the question that I asked is, you know, what's that game, that one game that sticks out that you wish you could have back? You know, that was certainly mine. And I thought about that earlier today. And last year, we played the Stearns Minutemen at Bryant Stadium. And I believe the final score was 43-13 Lions. And I'm not going to lie to you, that felt very, very good to finally beat Stearns all these years later. I never beat them in high school. They were a powerhouse back in the day. And to have it come full circle and have them be playing the Lions, you know, here in the year 2019 to get that victory.
Absolutely. It doesn't go away. Wait till you'll be our age. You'll still be thinking about it. Doesn't go away.
Absolutely. Ed, what do you got for us story-wise you'd like to share?
Well, I don't know. There's a lot of them. Like Sean said about the halfback pass. That was pretty cool. And with Steve and kicking that field goal, that was real memorable. We talk about that all the time. And I believe Mosier actually threw a touchdown pass at one of those games. So that was a memorable moment. But another one, when we was up in Orono playing them on the UMO field, which is a nice place to play.
Right.
I forgot my cleats at the house. And how do you play football without cleats? Well, we had to borrow them from somebody else, and that was a rough game when you're playing with cleats that are two sizes too small for your feet. But
I hear that. So,
I never knew that. Kids never
forget your cleats.
Ed, I love how you say Mosier actually threw a touchdown pass, like it was a surprise. He is the quarterback.
That's right too.
Easy.
Now, who were your biggest rivals back when you guys played?
Well, I'd say Rockland.
Right.
Stearns.
Rockland. Stearns.
Yep, Stearns made it back on our schedule last year. It was kind of not a normal thing that happens. They're playing in a different class these days. Rockland is now Oceanside. That rivalry has not gone away at all. You always hear about that game, no matter what sport you're playing at Belfast. But things have definitely changed a little bit. You know, our league has changed. You know, the big rival that we had when I was playing was Bucksport, and they're no longer in our league anymore. The only team that really, really stayed, you know, with that big rivalry for football wise is Rockland, now the Oceanside Mariners, they're called. So they,
yeah, like I said, when we were kids growing up, I mean, seventh graders, we had to play on the eighth grade team. As eighth graders, we had to play on the freshman team, and we were in the Pine Tree Conference. So we were playing Lawrence, Oxford Hills, Skowhegan, Winslow, Gardner. And, you know, we were getting roughed up pretty good. So back then it was tough to get rivalries. Then our freshman year, we dropped into the LTC and, you know, started playing Bucksport. Rockland kind of came with us. We have always played them. And same in baseball too. I mean, we always played a Class A schedule in the KBAC. So it worked out well for us because we were a smaller school as opposed to the old Pine Tree Conference schools. But I would say, like Ed said, you know, Rockland was always a fun game to go play, Bucksport. But, you know, in high school, you know, afterwards, you know, Stearns and Orono were big rivalries. But that was because of what happened that year. It wasn't so much the buildup. It was that year because we had, you know, played so many different teams growing up as kids.
No doubt. You know, since I've been back here at Belfast, I've been on the recruiting trail. You know, I'm trying to get more guys to play football. And quite frankly, I'm trying to get more students to play something. It's a different day and age we live in. There's a lot of distractions with cell phones and video games and everything else that's out there. And, you know, there's something to be said for the time that we grew up, you know, because there wasn't any of that going around back then. You know, you went to school, you played sports, you hung out with friends, you spent time with family, and that was your life growing up. And quite frankly, I miss the simplicity of it. With everything that's going on in the world today and all the technology. And with that said, I'm trying to get more students to get involved in any type of sport. I'm going to start with each of you, Mel. I'll start with you, Mark. Mark, what could you tell some of our listeners about the benefits, long-term benefits, and just the overall good things that you can take with you from playing high school sports?
Well, you know, just we were fortunate. You know, Belfast is still a small town. You know, you would go from football Friday night, Monday morning, you were at basketball tryouts or wrestling or swimming. Same thing in the spring. You know, we were fortunate. I mean, I you go off to college or you meet people at work and they're just astonished that you were able to play three varsity sports, you know, because some people from these bigger towns or bigger schools, you had to, you know, you had to focus on one or the other. And, you know, people I've met, I still have friends that, you know, to this day, I'm 55. I have, you know, friends that I played high school football against. And, you know, like you said, it's the discipline, the, you know, teamwork, the camaraderie. I've still got these four guys plus other guys from high school. I got a, you know, a handful of guys from college that I'm still buddies with. You know, my wife makes fun of me down here in Florida that I don't make as many guy friends as she thinks I should, but I've got great friends that I've had for my whole life, you know, and I'm not, you know, just going to hang out with somebody just to hang out with them. They got to be a good friend. And, you know, I've been really fortunate with these guys and some guys I met at school that are still good friends of mine. And, you know, I wouldn't trade it for the world. I mean, we're here talking tonight because we all play football for Belfast. And if you could tell me something better in sports for a high school kid than running out underneath the lights, you know, at Belfast under the scoreboard, what's better than that? You know, there's nothing better than that.
Amen to that. You know, I cherish every moment that I get to do that after all these years later, being the coach. Sean, how about you? Can you tell some of our listeners out there, especially our younger listeners out there, some of the great things that you associate with playing sports at Belfast?
Well, I would say one of the biggest benefits of sports, really, or of anything that you try that's difficult, is embracing and being comfortable with your relationship with failure, because you're going to fail in life. And in sports, you fail a lot. And the more you fail, the more you know what your weakness is, and you can overcome that. And you can use that for all in your life, every aspect of your life. So I always try to get my girls, I have two girls, Morgan and Raina, I always try to tell them, you know, go fail. And if you're not afraid of failure, you win. You're gonna kill life. You're gonna just be have a great life. But the people who a lot of us are so afraid to fail that we don't try things. So sports is really good for that. For like realizing that, hey, there's another day tomorrow. I failed today, and maybe tomorrow I can do better. And you can use that lesson in life.
Good points. You know, I say some of the same things to the football team. You're going to get knocked down on the football field. What are you going to do? You're going to stay laying down, or you're going to get up and fight? And you're going to face adversity in a football game. You're going to face adversity in life. And it's all about how you respond to that adversity. Just like you said, great point, Sean. How about you, Ed? Anything you'd like to share in terms of the positives that playing Belfast sports did for you?
Well, the big thing was, like you guys mentioned earlier, is the life when it was simple. We didn't have cell phones. We didn't have computers. And while you're out there on the practice field or on the football field or running under that scoreboard or what have you. You're not thinking about phones, computers, or other things. So taking your mind off that thing, sort of stuff. Also, again, we talked about that earlier. It sets you up for life because it gives you a good ethic, work ethic, you know, being on time, being responsible to do your job, because football is 11 people on the field. So everybody has to do their job. So that starts you out right there. Hey, I've got to do my job or we're going to fail. So, you know, that's just one way to look at it.
Very good points as well. Coming up on the top of the hour, Steve, your thoughts real quick, same question. Benefits you took from playing high school sports at Belfast?
Yeah, Coach, I think the big thing for me has been just teamwork. You know, especially in football, learning to work with a team. When you leave high school and go out in the real world, you know, learning to be able to work with people is critical. Of 8 of us doing investments for people. So what I learned in football, you know, helped me out my career.
Great points all the way around, man. I knew the hour was going to go by fast, and it certainly has. I do appreciate you, men, joining the show. You know, this show is all about bringing positivity to Belfast area sports, and quite frankly, we need it right now with the world we live in today, with all this COVID going on, and this, that, and the other. And, you know, a lot of the message that I, you know, give to my players is the things we just talked about tonight are real life examples of the memories, the brotherhood, the camaraderie, the bond that take place playing sports. I couldn't think of a better group of men to bring on the show and you know, have our young listeners, especially our young listeners, hear the stories, hear the friendship that still lives on today. And there's just so many positive and benefits that you can take from playing high school sports. And I just say to our young listeners out there, if you are playing, keep playing. If you're not playing, give it a shot. You know, we've got great coaches at Belfast up and down the board, no matter what sport it is. And we want to help you create some unforgettable memories that you can take with you for the rest of your life. And these four men are living, breathing, a real life example of that. Men, I really appreciate you joining the show. I enjoyed the conversation. This is the Belfast Lions Sports Show. It's not only about Belfast sports that are going on today, but it's about Belfast sports and the history of Belfast.
Well, Coach, just let me add one thing. We appreciate what you're doing, coaching and bringing the energy and trying to, you know, keep Belfast football going in the right direction. And I also want to point out, you know, I had some great times coaching with your dad. You know, just a great football guy, a lot of fun, enjoyed it. And, you know, didn't want to go without throwing out a little hey to your dad, you know, great guy.
Appreciate that. And my entire football team, boosters, coaching staff, would like to thank you, Mark, and Steve, for generously donating to our football team this past fall. With your donation, we were able to provide 3 team dinners for 40 football players, 4 coaches, and another 5 or 6 team staff. So we surely and greatly appreciate your kindness in that regard.
I can barely feed Marsanskis for that amount. We go to lunch.
Guys, we're coming up on top of the hour. Thank you again. I appreciate it. I hope to see you in the future.
All right, Coach. Love you guys. Take care.
Do we get paid for this?
See you, Coach. See you guys.
Later.
Thank you, guys. Go Lions.
Later.
Go Lions.
Good night.
Night.
Go. We'll be right back.
your credit. All the Vimeo kids who pop your pills.